This morning's lesson is from Psalm 105, and it's verses 1 through 6. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. You are his servants, the descendants of Abraham, his chosen ones, the children of Jacob, the word of God for the people of God.
So this morning, because it's VBS week and we get to wear cool orange t-shirts, Tim and I decided that we would preach together. So it's kind of a combined sermon this week. You get both of us, which hopefully will be good for the kids because more than one voice is good. But VBS was a great week, and the theme of the week was what you just heard. It was God works wonders. God is a wonderful God. And so this morning, hopefully you're going to hear some of that. Right now, I'd ask you to bow your heads and pray for me and with me. Holy God, we are so grateful to be here today. We know you are a wonderful God, and we pray now, Lord, that the words that Tim and I speak would not be ours, but they would be yours, because through you all things are possible, and through you transformation might happen, and we pray that, and we pray it in the name of Christ. Amen. When I was a little girl, I never went to the circus. Not complaining, it's just a fact. I just never went to the circus. When I was in college, I went to a circus. I was working at a summer camp, and there should have been a little clue because the summer camp was in the middle of Ohio, in the middle of nowhere, and this little circus came to a town further away, so in the middle of nowhere. So we put everybody in buses and cars, and we drove to this circus. It was a one-ring circus. Actually, it was about a half of a ring circus. It was terrible. It was an awful experience. It was dark. The tent was dark and dingy and dirty. And I think it was dark so you couldn't see what was happening because what was happening was not that good. It had an elephant. The one animal in the circus was this very sad, tired elephant. It was everything that you hear about that shouldn't happen. Like you look at that and you think, this is terrible. Why would they even allow this? And you felt so sad for this elephant. And then there were clowns that were depressing, and they were not funny, and they obviously didn't want to be there. And then there was a trapeze artist who probably should have quit 5 years ago. And it was awful. It was a terrible experience. And the ringmaster was kind of like, okay, it's the greatest show. Great, it's great. And he just couldn't wait to be done. And I thought, I'm done with the circus. I do not need a circus. So I left, never planned to go to a circus again. But then my daughter, who is here today, went to George Mason University, and as part of her coursework, she had to go to the circus. Not a bad course. And she said, Mom, why don't you come with me? And I said, oh, okay, I'll go to the circus with you. Well, it was the circus at the Patriot Center with three huge rings, and we walk in, and she had never been either because I never took my kids to the circus because bad experience. We walk inside, the lights and the sound and the excitement, and I was like, oh my goodness. I was completely overwhelmed. I was enthralled by it. The acrobats were daring and impressive, and they just flew through the air, and I just love that. The clowns were actually funny, and I was laughing my head off at them. There was this one act where I don't even know what it is, the Flying Willenda Brothers or something, and there's a circle with a bigger circle, and they go way up in the air, and you think they're going to fall, but they don't, and I was completely impressed by their skill. And then there's one moment at the very beginning when everybody comes on stage, and there is juggling, and there are horses, and there are elephants, and there are tigers, and there are dogs, and there are clowns, and there's dancers, and it's just amazing. And the ringmaster rides this thing around, you know, he's holding on, and he's like, the circus is amazing. And I said, yes, it is. And he reaches out his hand and he said, come with me to the magic of the circus. I said, yes, I want to. I want to be in the circus. If they had asked me, I would have climbed that very high ladder and jumped off the acrobat thing, and I don't like heights. But I was completely enthralled. I was transported For me, it was just this wonderful, wonderful experience, and I loved it. And this week, as I walked around Vacation Bible School, it was exciting, and it was bright, and it was colorful, and it was wonderful, and the kids were so excited. And I watched as Captain Kendall told our preschoolers a truth about God, and the kids just went, wow, really? And I watched you all sing songs so beautifully, and you were teaching me about who God is. And I watched your teachers, and I watched all the helpers. They were so excited because they love God, and they couldn't wait to share it. It was just so amazing. I had this experience where I walked into the sanctuary, and it was on Friday, and I walked in. I thought, I'm just going to watch a little bit of this, because they come in here and do their Bible story. They stand up here with all this great stuff. And I thought, okay, I'm just going to watch a little bit. I sat down. I didn't move until the end of it because I thought, yes, I want that. You have a great church because your church is committed to helping kids like this know who God is and how amazing God is. And every one of them today could tell you that God is wonderful. The great thing about Vacation Bible School is you can be over the top. There's nothing is too big at Vacation Bible School. Is that right? Totally right. It's not too big at Vacation Bible School. There's exclamation points everywhere, and you have seen the themes. Let's run through them quickly. The first theme was imagine with God. The next theme, build with God, grow with God, work with God, walk with God. And you don't say, walk with God, grow with God. No, you say grow with God, and that's what the kids and the teachers did this week. Everything is vibrant and exciting and awesome. And why would it not be? If I can get that excited over the circus, imagine how excited kids can get about Jesus. So when I was at the circus one time, this was just a couple years ago, we went and we were sitting in the seats and the seat was broken. And so at intermission, I went and I said, hey, our seats are broken. Could we maybe have a different seat? And the usher took us down to the front. Now I was not only looking at the circus, I was in the circus. I could feel the heat of the flaming hoops. I could smell the animals. I could hear the clown's feet slap the ground. I was just enmeshed into this experience. And that's what happens in VBS. They come and they see this and they experience it and they walk out and they sing the songs, and those CDs get played in cars over and over. Parents are like, oh yes, I know all the songs of VBS. They sing them everywhere. I want to tell you a quick story about a woman at our 8 o'clock service whose granddaughter, this is several years ago, she got very sick and she had cancer, and she came to VBS and she learned the music, and she went from VBS into the hospital, and the songs that she kept singing and the songs that she taught her nurses and her doctors were the VBS songs about God loves me, God is with me even through all of this. VBS is important. It changes kids' lives. It changes adult lives. But here's what you and I know. Life is not always bright and beautiful. It's not all sunshine and roses. Sometimes life is dark and dreary. I was in a pre-op room this week with a very dear friend of mine. And we sat together and we prayed and we cried, and she was waiting for a surgery that would change her life forever. But she turned to me and she said, Barbara, God is with me. God has always been with me. And she just started listing these times. And I looked at her and I thought, you're amazing. Because what she was doing was saying, give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Even when it's dark and dreary, tell of his wonderful acts. When the psalmist wrote this, what he knew was the people of the Hebrews, they'd been through a lot. They'd been through famine, They'd been through wandering in the desert. They'd been through captivity. They knew what it was to lose, and yet they still said, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. And that's what we try to do here. So today, this week, as Tim and I talked about the sermon, we said, hey, we want to talk about God's wonderful acts. So we're going to share three things with you.
So guys, here's one thing about God that's amazing and wonderful. God loved us, God loves us, before we even knew God. Before we knew who God was, God loved us. That is something that we try to teach you guys from when you're very little. God loves you. And that's so important. And the psalmist in Psalm 139 writes this, and I love this. He says, for you created me in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. What the psalmist is saying is, God, you made me. You made me perfectly and wonderfully in the way, God, that you designed me. See, what the psalmist knows is that we all need love. We're designed to be loved, and that God deeply, deeply loves us. And there's a word for this. There's a fancy word that we use for this, that God, about God's love coming to us before we ever know God, and that's called prevenient grace. And what that means is that God gives us grace, and we don't have to do anything to earn it. We don't even have to choose God for God to give us that grace. It comes before, because God deeply, deeply loves us. Now, that grace gives us free will, and we have a choice. We can say we choose to be in relationship with God or not, but it's a result of God's love for us and that grace that we're even able to do that. I do a lot of weddings, and when I do weddings, one of the parts that I focus on, if there's sort of a nostalgic part in a wedding for me, it's when the father walks his daughter down the aisle. Or even worse, when the father and daughter do the first dance. Now, Sarah, this is going to get a little awkward for you, okay? That's my daughter. I told your mom when we were having children I didn't want a daughter. I know, isn't that sad? You know why I said I didn't want a daughter? I didn't want to ever have to walk my daughter down the aisle. I didn't want to have my daughter do the first dance. I'm glad we had a daughter, Sarah. That's a good thing. I'm really glad. But I told Susan really wanted a girl, so she won. We got a daughter. She got what she wanted, but I said I didn't want to do that. You know why? Because every single time I see a father walk his daughter down, I get a little teary-eyed. When I hear the great country song, I loved her first, right? The lyrics, I loved her first, I held her first, a place in my heart will always be hers. From the first breath she breathed, when she first smiled at me, I knew the love of a father runs deep. And I prayed that she'd find you someday, but it's still hard to give her away because I loved her first. See, I don't like that song. I don't like that song at all because it gets me all misty-eyed. One time I heard God described as a lovesick father. And when I heard that term, I was a little bothered by it because it felt sort of weak to me. Lovesick? But as I understand God and as I look at Scripture, as I look at stories like the story of the parable of the prodigal son, where he talks about the father whose son runs away, and the father waits and waits for his son to come home. That's the image of God that I get. God who deeply, deeply loves us. God who loves us before we ever choose God. God who loves us in spite of who we are. If we believe this, I think it changes the way that we share God with other people. If we believe that God deeply loves us, then we don't need to go out and share all the facts about God. If we believe that God loves us before we know God, then we have an opportunity to help people see where God already exists in their lives. Because God already loves them. They're already children of God. So I am so amazed that God loves us before we ever know who God is.
The first one is God loved us first. The second one is God loves us all equally. God loves us all equally. I'm reading a great book now. It's called Love, Period. It looks like this. It's by Rudy Rasmus. He's a pastor in Texas, and he's got this great church. And he is just a really good author and seems to be an amazing man. But he wrote this book called Love, Period. And in it, he tells a story from his childhood. He said he grew up in the world of two water fountains, one that said whites only and one that said coloreds only. And he said, I didn't get that as a kid. I remember asking my mom, Mom, what's different about the water in the whites only fountain? Like, does it taste different? Does it come out differently? What is different about that? He didn't understand it, but that's the world that he grew up in. When he was about 12 years old, he went to Houston to go shopping with his mother and with his Aunt Norma. Now, Norma was all of 19 years old, so she was like the cool aunt, all right? So Norma was old enough to take Rudy, and they could go off by themselves and go shopping, which he thought was just really awesome. He got to leave his mom. And so his aunt, feeling very much in charge, took Rudy and said, hey, I'm going to buy you a soda. And so they went to a drugstore. And they walk into the drugstore, and it's empty. The counter is empty. And they sit down at the stools of the drugstore, and they're waiting to order. And the owner walks up to them. Rudy said he was flustered, and he didn't look them in the eye, but he said, you can't sit here. You have to go back there. And there, he looked down, and there was a room in the back of the drugstore with junk in it and a table and some chairs. And Rudy said, I didn't know what was going on. But his aunt, he said, my aunt grabbed my arm, pulled me off of that stool and out of that drugstore and all the way down to where their mom was shopping. Rudy had an experience that some people still experience today. That expectation that because you look different, because you talk differently or you have a different ability, you're not as good as me. You must not be as worthy as I am. But the truth that we're talking about is God is wonderful because he loves all of us equally. The Bible says we are all one in Christ Jesus. Paul writes this beautiful passage about in Christ there is neither slave nor free, neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor female. There are no differences in Christ. We are all the same. The wonderful thing about God is he creates us differently with different abilities and different gifts, and yet he loves us the same. So we're different yet the same, which kind of makes your head explode sometimes. The wonder of God's love in us is when we begin to look at all the kids around us and say, even though you have black hair and you have red hair, you're the same because you are loved by God. Even though you like to sing and you like to play soccer, you are both equally good. You're just different and yet the same in Christ. Rudy Rasmus goes on to talk about going to the Houston Zoo. And at the zoo, there was this fountain, and it was a big lion, and water would just gush out of the lion's mouth. And the kids used to play in the fountain at the zoo. And he says this. He said, children were free to run around that fountain and have the time of their lives splashing in a pool on a hot day. The best thing about the fountain was there weren't any signs around it saying who could and who couldn't be in the water. All God's children were welcome. Black and white, Asians, differently abled, physically ill, mentally ill, or any other group of people. It was just a place to cool down on a hot day. And that's the wonder of God's love. We can all splash around in the fountain of God's grace. We can all be washed in the water of Christ. We are all one. God loves us all the same. Because God loves us all equally. Verse 5 in our psalm says, remember the wonderful works he has done, his miracles, the judgments he has uttered. O offspring of his servant Abraham, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. That's you. And that's me. And that's Tim. We are God's chosen ones. Because God loves us all equally.
And finally, God's wonderful because God gets us. God understands us. Now, one of the ways that we could say that is because God created us, God understands us. But God took things a step further. God came to the earth in human form in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus experienced what we experience. See, sometimes I think we live in a world and in a place where we say, well, God's there and we're here and God just doesn't get us. God doesn't get what we wrestle with. God doesn't get our challenges. But let's take a brief look, a quick look at Jesus. Did Jesus get weary? Did he have limitations? Sure. Jesus goes to the well at Samaria because he's tired, because he's thirsty. Jesus understands that we have those needs. He needs to go and to rest. Jesus gets overwhelmed when there are a lot of people around that need a lot of things. And Jesus needs to go and retreat. How many of us get overwhelmed when there's lots of people around and we need to go and retreat? We need to get away and we need to walk away. Jesus had to do that. It says in Mark 6:31, then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. I need rest. You need rest. See, God understands that need that we have. What about conflict, people problems? Any of us have people problems? Any of us deal with conflict? Sure we do. Jesus dealt with conflict. There were people who every day were trying to tell him, I don't like what you're doing. I don't like the way you're saying this, and I don't like the way you're doing this. He had people very close to him say, I don't believe in what you're doing. He had disciples, people that walked with him say, nothing good ever came out of Nazareth. Well, Jesus did. Right? When in his greatest time of need, what did his friends do? His closest friends. They fled. See, Jesus gets when a personal problems that we have. He gets that we deal with conflict and he gets that we deal with pain. Jesus dealt with pain. Right? Physical pain. He hung on the cross. It was real pain that he struggled with. God understands pain of losing a child. It's real pain. And how about grief, overwhelming sadness? Jesus gets that. He hangs on the cross, and at the moment when he's in his worst point, people are spitting on him. They're yelling bad things at him and mocking him. See, he gets dealing with pain. So when we think that God is so far away and God can't interact with us and we can't engage with God, God is wonderful because God gets us. God understands us because God has walked with us. So when we meet somebody wonderful, what do? We invite other people to get to know them, right? We share them. When we have a great friend, we can't wait to tell other people about them. These kids this week, you guys, I have heard so many of your parents say, if they hear any more of the VBS songs, they're going to be filled with even greater joy. So keep singing them. They're so excited. But you guys can't help but tell of the love that God has for you. And my prayer for us as a congregation, as we see these beautiful children who come up and sing, Y-O-U, you are the God who does wonders, that we too can go out into the world to share that good news of this wonderful God who deeply loves us before we even know who God is, who loves us equally, and who deeply understands us. Let's pray.